Wanted that. Oh, hello everyone. I am unmuted. How lovely. Welcome to the Beacon Noon Step of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual experience, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting, except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will break into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Nancy to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Can you unmute Nancy? Yes.
I am Nancy. I'm an alcoholic. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nancy. And today we will hear a talk on Step 10 by our very own Kirsten from Colts Neck, New Jersey. Come on in, Kirsten.
Thank you, Sonny. Thanks, Kim. Hi, everyone. My name's Kirsten. I'm alcoholic. I'm speaking today because a good friend of mine can't make it that I had asked to speak. I was not clear on the time, and so I got to make him an amends and get him another time. But I feel like it was meant to be because I woke up this morning a little earlier, and I just walked outside before my coffee, and I stretched, and I looked outside up at a tree, and I did some prayers, and I said, God, what do you want for me today? And I don't always start my day off like that. I sometimes start the day running down the stairs, grabbing coffee, making lunches, running out, getting kids out the door, and then I have my little me time. And by that means my time to do some morning 11 step work. But today was a little different, and now I realize why. Because my God had some plans for me today to do some service. So I hope I can be helpful. You know, the 10th step, I'm glad I'm speaking on it because it's something that I can learn from all of you and your experiences later, that it's something that it's a do or die. I'm either spiritually fit or I'm not, based on doing that work all day. The 11 step bookends are beautiful and they go hand in hand, but the real work for me and my recovery is in, you know, when these fears crop up, which, you know, I'll share about fear and pride cropping up in my life. I always drank alcoholically from my first drink. I had a mental obsession and a physical allergy. And I always thought I was just a terrible human being. I don't blame it on any childhood trauma or anything like that, that I always thought was the cause. Now I learn that, you know, I have a garden variety life, but I have, my body is as abnormal as my mind. I used to think I was more selfish, more prideful, more egomaniacal than any other people. I'm at a point in my life now that I think I'm pretty much, you know, other people that don't have alcoholism have character defects and amazing, wonderful traits as we all do now. But my mind and my body are both abnormal, and I cannot drink safely. And my life is because of that. You know, I have unmanageability in my life and sobriety as well. And I try to turn that over to a loving God. I've come to believe in a power greater than myself. I made a decision to turn that, to turn my thoughts and my actions over to a care of God. I don't do it perfectly, but I try to make that decision and then give up. You know, I did the steps, and when I did the fourth step and then the fifth step, it was my first time I had a real spiritual experience. When it said we get to know God better after doing a fifth step, when I first read that with my sponsor, I said, no, God's going to finally get to know me better because I'm finally going to be honest. You know, that's how big my world was. And I realized my world's real small and my God's world's huge. And thank goodness for that, right? And that was the first. And then, you know, I sat quietly, did six and seven. And this was not the first time I did the steps. So believe me, I am not a first time winner. And even each time I did the steps, I got a little closer to a spiritual experience. And then I had that list, and the willingness was so important. I wasn't really willing. And I thought the ninth was going to be harder, but the willingness was the big, you know, I thought it was like jumping off a diving board and the freedom in jumping off. And as we heard Stan yesterday, there was that new freedom and a new happiness he talked about from making the amends. I felt that too. You know, I text him after that. That's what it meant. Like, it was a new freedom I never felt before, because I didn't even know the baggage and the guilt and the shame that I was carrying around. I just thought I was different and miserable. It just was, like a new freedom. You know, it's such a beautiful blessing that this program gives us. And I did the steps a couple of times, and I will share my experience with the first time, the second time I had come back a second time. So the second time I did it, I had to do all of my steps, and then we started practicing the 10th step. My current sponsor, who I've been working with for a while, shared with me that it says this step brings us to step 10, with which we suggest we take personal inventory and consider we set right any new wrongs as we go along. We commenced this new way of living as we cleaned up the past. So I didn't have that time span. It was as soon as I really made the amends, the couple of big ones that were, you know, spouse and parents, we were getting into step 10. And that there really wasn't that extra time. So, and I realized how important that was for my own spiritual growth. So that's when I just started. And she was like, okay, you know, you made those couple of amends, and now it's when, you know, these emotions are going to crop up. Now, I would have thought I was walking on water with my new freedom and my new happiness and just the beauty of that. Less weight in my soul and on my mind, you know, that I don't have to do this now, but it was like, absolutely do this now. And thank goodness for good sponsorship to let me know that, no, there's no better time than now. There's a reason why, you know, I had to go right into 6 and 7 after spending that quiet time alone, because I would go back into self, you know, I'd go back into ego, I'd go back into fear. So it was an immediate, you know, asking God to take those things away from me. So it was the same thing with step 10, you know, it's like action, prayer, action, prayer, action, prayer. You know, it says we entered that world of the spirit, you know, after step 9, entering a world. And for me, it's like opening a door to this like amazing party, you know, but I really just entered it. You know, I'm not in the middle of the room. I'm not on stage. I'm just entering it. It's like, I just get a peek at, you know, that feeling of uselessness, that I mean, no longer feeling like I'm useless and that I can be helpful. I just started, you know, getting that feeling, losing interest in selfish things, caring about other people, the people that I made amends to. All of a sudden, I cared about them more. I loved them more because of the freedom that I felt. I don't know if they forgived me as much, but the weight, my resentments, my jealousies, my fears of them, my apathy towards some people. I couldn't care less about a few people that were on that list. They weren't, you know, my selfishness, my ego took me away from being able to connect, to feel empathy. You know, I don't know if I was just this walking alcoholic narcissist, but, you know, I began to feel empathy as a result of doing, you know, making the amends, and it said the self-seeking will slip away, and it began to slip away. And I cared about people that, you know, again, I didn't really understand the harms, but I knew that I had to make it right to stay sober, or I would drink again. And that is my story, is that I did not want to make a bunch of amends. I still was very, very, in self and in fear and in pride. So when I did it this time, I realized like I was entering, you know, I had to take good orderly direction without, as I tell my kids, the back talk with the back talk here. So taking the 10th step is when I realized I was in this like, you know, new cool world of the spirit, just entering. I know how easy it is to step back and take those 2 steps back into my world, which is the world of self. And that world is not a spiritually fit world. It's, you know, we say it's a bad neighborhood. And that's the worst neighborhood I ever went in looking back, because it got me into a lot of bad places. So I made a bunch of amends, but I'm still working at a place that, you know, wasn't the best. I was made a lot of mistakes in. I was still in relationships where I had made mistakes in, and I knew I was still in the same family, you know, nothing had changed but my amends, you know, and in my mind and in my heart. But now I had to change walking and talking, you know, and that's where the 10 steps helps me with the change. So I was in an automatic different person. It said when, you know, these things cropped up, and one, it says it's not an overnight matter, right? So this is a lifetime. So I had to understand this is, you know, it's not a fad diet. It's not a 30-day challenge. It's not a really cool book I'm going to read and jump on and off. And this is now part of my life, a day at a time, a day at a time. And it's when these crop up And they were always going to crop up, especially the dishonesty, because my way is to, I'm always in fear and I want you to think I'm more than I am. And I want to be included and I want to be loved. Cause I know when that fourth step, there was that fear of abandonment, fear of not having enough. I come from a lack perspective and, you know, so I have to ask God, you know, to give, when I did six and seven, to give that up. And, but it's still, you know, I'm still human. I'm still walking around. So all of that cropped up. And I, you know, I had to start like physically taking a pause during the day and saying, what's going on here? You know, physically learning how to take my body's temperature, the tension in my body, the, you know, the voices in my head, racing thoughts, teeth clenching, all of those things were triggering. Like I need to do, take that pause and take a 10th step. That was my body helping me, you know, grow and, you know, from an abnormal body into a healing body. Right. And, I had to look at, you know, I would tell by my body language, no fear is in the picture. Self-seeking is in the picture. Dishonesty is in the picture. This is what's going on. And, you know, what do? I would want to run and call my sponsor right away and talk about it. And I always got the same, you know, thing. Did you go to God first? And I was like, I need you. I need you. You helped me. You know, I was like holding on to her so much. And you know, she would always direct me to God. She's like, you got to go to God at once. Ask him, you know, ask God for help to remove, find out what, you know, your loving God wants for you. And then call me back. And then I get resentful at her, you know, like just solve this stuff for me. You know, it's, but I had to, I would learn from like my body, learn from my heart. Soon I was beginning to get that, you know, connection, that I was not in a place of neutrality or peace. And then I would, you know, ask God, please remove these fears. Please remove my selfishness. Please, why am I, you know, please remove my desire to control someone else. Please remove my desire to punish someone else for not doing what I want. You know, and I mean, punished by saying something sarcastic or manipulative or condescending, or giving the silent treatment. You know, those are all ways I try to punish people. You know, there was for not getting, for not doing what I wanted them. Like I had a feeling that people had to, for some reason, that I was their God and they, you know, whether it's family, children, friends, colleagues, you know, if I was a supervisor and I had to say, God, please stop. You know, that urge to, you know, let people live and live and let live and let me just be in your world. And I, that a lot of that came out and, you know, all of that came out and it was, thank goodness that I have a loving God that just kept at that moment. Yeah. I was able to remove certain things. I had a hard time at work. I was a supervisor and I thought I just worked for people. I worked supervised people that were just horrible to be supervised. And it was me. It's like, I was the problem and I was able to learn and I'm learning as is, it's a spiritual journey, lifetime journey is that I'm always the problem. You know, people are going to do what they want to do, but I have a choice to, contribute to the world based on my spiritual condition, or I can make things harder. And the 10th step helps me with that. And I'm actually back at a job that I first got sober in. That was a big deal. But only with the 10th step, I'm able to go back and work with some people that are retiring now and I'm re-entering their workforce. And I'm able to, and I've had to tell people, you know, I'm a different person and not, but I have to show it to you, you know, because I left in early sobriety. But I was able to, you know, I'm able to say, God, you know, how do I best serve thee? You know, your will, not mine. And I can do that after I feel that I'm in fear, you know, that I'm in resentment. I was just sharing with Kim, like my husband left accidentally a bag of garbage. Instead of throwing it out, he put it in the car. He was going to drop it off. And I got so angry at him, you know, so angry. And because he wasn't apologizing. And at first I just like, I flipped out. I was like, you should be apologizing to me. You made my car smell like, you know, moldy cheese. And he's just laughing about it. And I just wanted to punish him for not feeling bad. I don't know. And, you know, I had to do that going to God on it, you know, and I'm glad that I was able to do that this morning, but going to God, say, well, you know what, why did I react like that? Why is it so important? You know, and I got news to you. I've done that. You know, I've done that too. I live on a big hill. So it's like, sometimes, you don't, you know, it's raining. But it's like, I don't, there's something, you know, people are, he was probably embarrassed, you know, he's embarrassed. We didn't want to do that. And instead of, you know, letting someone, having empathy and being embarrassed, I got so angry and I had to be this punishing person. And I have to go to God and say, please let me stop being a punishing person and being a loving person, being a forgiving person, being someone with empathy. I have to talk to other people that I was able to, you know, to text him about it this morning. I know I even need to do better than that, but you know, that without this program, I'd be walking around mad about garbage that's already the sanitation department picked up. You know, like, these are the little things that, you know, get on my mind. I made a bunch of financial amends when I did the ninth step. And those are also a lifetime matter, I tell you. You know, that wasn't, they're going along with my spiritual growth. And I'm in a place right now where I don't want to respect a contract that I made, because there's things we need, I keep telling myself. And so, you know, there were, I realized like I wasn't being honest with my finances. And I shared it with my sponsor and she's like, you know, your God is bigger than Chase Bank. Believe me, you know, go back. And I have to take that, you know, spot check and say, you know, why am I in fear? You know, why do I think I can be dishonest with someone else's money? Why am I resentful of a financial institution? I don't have to watch the news and look at, you know, what interest rates are. That's not my business. My business is to make that financial reparation. But, you know, again, I've entered the world of spirit, but I take those two steps back. I leave that room and I go back into self, you know, when I'm not with my God, and making that connection, willing, you know, an honest connection. And I get to pause. And I did that a week ago. I was like, please God, you know, remove this, this expectation that my life has to have a certain financial level, that I don't get to hurt and be dishonest. Please God, remove it and let me be helpful, you know? And, I had to pick up the phone and explain to a woman who, doesn't care about my and you know, she's got a job to do, you know, at the end of the day. You know, I realized as I was talking, I'm trying to manipulate her into getting my way. And once again, it's like, okay, you know, here's the situation. This is what I can pay. This is when I can do it. And, you know, the penalty wasn't as bad as what I would like. And it wasn't what I wanted, but it was what I needed, because I need to know to respect other people's finances and other people's lives. And I got news here. I get back to that new freedom and that new happiness. And when I'm there, I get into that place of neutrality and safety. You know, we talk about it in the book, like I cease fighting. You know, when I actually go to God, talk to somebody else, take the steps. And then, you know, I have a couple of sponsees and I get into the place where they need to call me. I'm not calling them, right? And you know what? I'm supposed to be turning my direction to be helpful to us. How am I supposed to help elders if I'm not reaching out? You know, so I've been getting into the habits. I have a new sponsee and she's like, I'm not good with the phone. I'm not good with the phone. So you know what? I'm in fear of being, I don't know, an ineffective sponsor. And I'm like, you know what? I've been calling her because I need to reach out. You know, it's like, I need to see how I can be helpful. And she, you know what? Some people, that's what she needed, you know, and I've been trying to reach out to, I try to reach out to people that are the ones that say, I'm fine. Cause I'm fine. You know, I'm not the one, you know? So I see myself in those other people more than the person, you know, and again, I know that the person that walks through the door shaking and we give them that half a cup of coffee. I know, you know, they need this program, but I need this program too. And I see the people that are like, I'm fine. And so that's what I do. I make it my business to reach out to those that maybe think they don't need the call or trying to pretend they don't need the call. But once I do that, then that 10th step shows like, hey, I don't want to fight any, you know, things don't bother me. The little things don't bother me. I don't feel as much that I need to be selfish. You know, I'm always in flight or flight when I'm in self. I need to protect myself. I need to show you all that I am. And once I'm, you know, the resentment crops up, I pray on it. Please remove it. Let me know what you want from me. Let me know. Let me know, please. I know you're going to show me. I used to want an instant, like, God shot, you know, and if I didn't feel it, I went back to being, you know, self manipulation. But the other two steps are then talk about it and then go help someone. And I realized it's like a four part. When it crops up, you know, whether sometimes it's, again, I get, it's the clench. I go to God, go talk about it with someone. And then I gotta help someone. And it's a four parts. And in my life, I've learned to, like, almost take pauses. Like, I have to take a coffee break, you know, or take my medicine at a certain time. You know, I take certain medications at certain times of the day. Like, I have to take in my 10th step time at the time of the day too, because there's never been a time where I said, all right, 10th step time, that something didn't come up and I realized I needed to take that 10th step. You know, I used to think it was silly. Like, all right, when honestly, I take like a B vitamin at 2 o'clock, it's like B vitamin 10th step, right? And that's when I realized, like, oh my goodness, you know, did I have to say that to him? Did I have to do this? Maybe I, you know, this is what the way I'm thinking. If it wasn't an action, it's definitely my thoughts. And I'm able to be useful, much more helpful. And as, you know, being put in a position of neutrality, and it says, you know, we say the problem's been removed, but you know, I'm never going to be cured of alcoholism. And, you know, I'm cautiously, you know, I live cautiously with it, but I don't have to walk by, you know, I go to this beautiful Wegmans supermarket, and then there's this big, you know, I guess they have a separate liquor store or something. And I would never even buy paper towels in the last aisle for a while. I just didn't want to see anything, you know? And I'm finally, you know, I'm at a place now because I do the steps. I can go buy paper towels at Wegmans next to the end, because I used to see myself years ago, like, running in and running out. Like, my mind used to just, you know, I wasn't in the world of the spirit. I was still in a world of self, and, you know, not cocky, you know, but not in fear. You know, it says we're not cocky and we're not fearful. To me, that's like pride and fear. But, you know, it's not something that comes up anymore. I don't see myself crashing my cart, you know, into, you know, a case of tequila anymore. It's just like that I would visualize that. Like, that's how, you know, I was in fear. So as long as I'm spiritually fit, I don't have that feeling. I can go by my Charmin. This is something that I have to do. And again, I'm so glad it's a lifetime journey, because I look at things so much like, all right, let me just get it over with. You know, how long do I have to do this for? And it's a day at a time. You know, I do this a day at a time. We do this a day at a time. You know, I might be calling one of you one day. I hope you're calling me. You know, it's a way I'm also connected to other people, taking that break. And I speak to women that, like, I say, I haven't seen her in my home group for a little while. You know, she must not like me. Like, this is how I think, right? She must not want to talk to me because she switched home groups. Like, I don't know, maybe she got a new job. Maybe she needs to change. Like, it has nothing to do with me. You know, it lets me reach out to other people when I know I've got to turn my thoughts to others and how to be helpful, or I've got to share this with someone. You know, my sponsor tells me the hands of AA will always be there. I'm the thumb. Find four other people, you know? And I love that she says that, because, you know, for that I am responsible, but it's a community. It is a community. And I'm grateful that we have this community to help, you know, to help me grow along spiritual lines. And, you know, keeping in good spiritual condition, it's a lifelong journey. There's medicines that I need for the rest of my life. And I'm grateful for those medicines. I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful, you know, I'm grateful for the doctors and the science and everything that makes them, that lets me function. And I'm just as grateful to, you know, our program and everybody in here and this beautiful literature that helps me, gives me specific directions, and the people that guide me with their experience, you know. And the 10th step brings it all, you know, it's a way of life now. It's not something I have to do. You know, I had a few weeks to do my 4th step. So, you know, I didn't have a few weeks to do my 10th step. It's, you know, today And tomorrow, and you know, God willing, I wake up the next day and I get to do it. I don't have to do it. I get to do it. So, you know, for that, I'm grateful. And I'm so glad I was able to share today.